of Lent, concluding with Good Friday and Easter. The cross is empty. The grave is empty. I believe next week some of these visuals will be gone. As it all dies down, we realize that the world is still largely where it was. And not that we anticipated anything being different, or at least not a lot, but it's still out there with real dangers, and we're very aware of the ongoing reality of evil. And we also know it's not just out there. The big global things that we know about and read about and also impact us, we have all our own realities about health, about our family, about education, jobs, relationships, our church, finances. And we have to navigate these things, making decisions about all these different things as part of our way of moving on. Some are smaller and some are larger. Some are low-impact choices and some are huge ones. Some we'll have lots of information for and some we will have very little for, but always making decisions. So how do you make the right ones? And of course, there are times that we think it would really be neat if God would give us some signs, some clear signs about what to do. I mean, you read in the Bible that God did that sometimes. When the Israelites left Egypt, and if you've seen some of those pictures, you see the stark difference between the Nile Valley and the beginning of the desert. When they left Egypt with all of its riches and food, and they went out into that desert place where the Egyptian god of death, Sin, was said to live. How did they do that? Well, they did it by a cloud that led them during the day and a pillar of fire at night, and they knew God was with them. And can you imagine having that guidance? I mean, you think of it, and that's really kind of cool. Even desert times are a whole lot more navigable if you know it's God who's leading you. Except for the fact I've had no cloud like that. No cloud there to take me to seminary when I was wondering if maybe God was calling me there. No cloud telling me that it was Marnie that I should marry and when it was okay to propose. No cloud about staying in ministry here or in previous places or when it's time to move on. It's a cool idea, but I don't have a cloud to follow. You take another example from the Bible, Paul on one of his missionary journeys. Paul wanted to go and preach in the province of Asia. And you read there in Acts that he wanted to do that, and it seems like it's obviously a good thing, but the Holy Spirit prevented them. They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit wouldn't allow them to, and then God showed them. Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia asking him to come and help. And so they did. And it's neat to read that's how God led Paul, especially when you think of how much Paul did for the work for the Church of Jesus Christ. But I, and you too, well, we don't usually get visions from God to tell us exactly where to go. We also know that as tempting as it might be, and ways in which we sometimes try, even if we don't use dice, we, like Gideon, want to put some fleece out there and test how it is we might make our decision and recognize it's generally not the way that it works or works well. And yet God does promise to guide us. You read a verse like Psalm 48, verse 14, which says this. After a verse previous, verse 9, where it says that wanting to dwell in the presence of God in his temple all our days, Psalm 48 says this, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. He will be our guide even to the end. That's what Scripture proclaims. And that means that when we understand that and look at that, as we find that theme throughout Scripture, the question is not if God will be our guide, but how God will guide us. For me, living in this post-Easter season, this post-Easter world where the world is still not the way that God intended it to be, and neither is the church, and neither am I, for me, this is important. And in our passage in Proverbs, the two verses that I want to focus on pull us right into that to tell us this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight, which is what a guide does, right? Directs our paths. That's what God promises. But there are some things that God tells us about our role in that. Because it's not just about God. It's also about us with God. And I want to identify two of them before ending briefly with the third. And it's not something that's new. It's not something that's innovative. It's words that many of us have heard before, but from time to time, it's important to be reminded of. And the first is about trust. Because Proverbs 3 suggests that all this about God guiding us only works if you put your trust in the Lord. It seems to suggest that it doesn't work for God to guide you if you're not going to trust in him to guide you. And there are a lot of things we can, of course, say about trust and faith, but I want to focus on one simple thing, and that is a simple question, and it's this: who is running your life? And I know it feels a little simplistic, maybe even, but I think it's one that we personally have to answer, especially if Easter means something. So, who? Who really is the Lord of your life? You or Jesus? That's, to some degree, what this comes down to. One part of faith can be expecting or hoping that if we at least believe the story of Good Friday and Easter, then in the end God will forgive our sins and there will be a place in some kind of heaven waiting for us when we die. But that's not the sum of biblical faith. God calls us not just to believe the story, but God wants us to make a choice, to take a stand. And the question remains, do you trust Jesus, this risen Lord, with all your heart? Because if the answer to that is yes, that means that you are intending for Jesus to call the shots. It means that you're committing yourself to what Jesus committed himself to. It means you'll pursue what is good in the eyes of God, and you're going to fight to stop what is not good in the eyes of God. Not just in your personal life or me in my personal life, but also in our community, in this world that we confess belongs to God. And I know we don't always like it. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. A pastor friend of mine pointed out that when the Israelites were following the cloud, it's helpful to note that the cloud did not guide them to some of the finer camping places in Egypt where you and your children could go to and enjoy some sun and maybe even some water. That wasn't God's purpose with them. God was leading them out of the land of slavery, out of the house of bondage. God was bringing them to a new place because God is a God of life. And sometimes that means you have to go through a desert. And you discovered in desert times that you have to trust God's leading and turn from the paths that would disconnect you from God and take you a place where there is not life. And that's no less true for you or me personally or for us here at West End or wherever you're from. We don't like desert times any more than others do. And there are times where we just want to resolve stuff and to get out of the desert and be where things are more comfortable or are at least in line with what I think and would like. But sometimes the issue is not the desert, but trusting the one who walks with us with all our heart. If I want Jesus to guide, if I want God to guide me, then Jesus needs to be the Lord of my life in every part. And lean not on your own understanding. The Hebrew word for lean more literally means to be supported by. So you can read it this way. Don't be supported by your own understanding. Which, of course, begs a question. If I am not to lean on my own understanding, then what do I lean on? Where do I get my support? And two things we can say about that, both of them worthy of a reminder as we head back into this post-Easter life and all that it stands for and all that it has made us. And the first is about the Bible, because the Bible is God's guidebook. You may want clouds, you may want visions and easy answers, but the fact is that God has given us a guidebook. And if you want direction for your path, then you need to be a student of that book, which means you need to use it. You need to engage it. You need to work with it and wrestle with it and try to understand what God is saying. So you don't need a vision to tell you today that it's not okay to murder. That's an easy one. But you also don't need a cloud to tell you that if you are a parent, then you and all your household are to follow God in all things family. And you don't need a vision to tell you that gossiping about people, even if you tell those who are listening to not spread it on, that gossiping about people is in line with what God has said is appropriate. It's not speaking the truth in love. And you don't need a cloud to tell you everything about finances. And sure, we may like some insider information from God about what stocks we might pick. But asking God for any kind of help when we're not honoring God with tithes and offerings and giving to the Lord in trust, then we're missing something. I may not have a cloud, and I may not get visions every week, but there is a lot that God has given to guide me, a living word that God says he will work through when we engage it. That means maybe the most important decision in following up to Good Friday and Easter, as one who trusts in the Lord, is to commit or recommit to reading, to studying, to taking in and following this living and active Word of God. But a second part is this. We lean on God's understanding and are not supported by our own understanding. But it also means that it's something that we do together. And I don't just stick with my own understanding or interpretations. And over my years in ministry, one of the things that consistently strikes me is the way we as people can deceive ourselves. And we can, and I know I can, deceive myself about how bad I am and how unworthy I am about grace and wrestle with that. Or we can deceive ourselves about how good we are and how right or objective or faithful we may be compared to some others that we know. It's easy to do. And when I come across that again, I'm reminded of the Old Testament refrain that you read again and again that says, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's why God gives us each other. What protects us, what helps us being connected, what helps us is being connected to people who confess the same God, who come before the same Lord, who have the same desire for life in Christ that Christ has won for us, the same desire for life that we have. We connect with people who are more interested that we are okay with God than simply that we are happy. That's what makes being a community of faith so important. I need it from you. I need to know that you love God more than you love me. I also need to know that you love God more than you love yourself, or your opinion, or your understanding. And it's not that we have to agree on everything. History tells me clearly, as some of you who are at the study this past week have heard again, history tells us clearly that we won't. But you need to call me to love God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, even if that may make me unhappy or unsettled trying to walk that with you, even if it means walking through a desert. The people of Israel had the cloud and the pillar. They also had the miracles. They had the manna and the quail and the water that would come from a rock. But ever strike you that even with all of that, they still needed Moses? They still needed the leaders of tens and fifties and thousands and the leaders of the families? Just like we're in a season of looking for leaders to help us with the next term in this journey that God has given us together. Because the journey is not just about knowing what to do. It's about helping each other do it. Because that's what the body of Christ is for. Well, the verse says one more thing. At least one more thing, something basic and simple, at least in explanation. In all your ways, submit to Him. God is not a GPS or Google Maps guide for the journey. God is our God. And when God is, that's true for every part of life, and that's how we are called to live. Can you imagine if I would suggest to Marnie, my wife, that I would submit to the fact of our marriage in about 70% of what I do, which is a significant majority. But for the rest, I would do as if I wasn't married, and yet I want her to know that I still would want her to love me and to be my wife. And we know, of course not, because it's not about status. It's not about percentages. It's about relationship. God is our God, no matter where we are or what's going on. He's not a part-time God or only a God of some areas of life. In all your ways, all my ways, God says, because God says, I love you and I want to guide you. And that's a two-way street. And so the good news of the gospel as we have it this week after our Easter and Good Friday celebrations and acknowledgments, the good news is that Jesus did not just die. And Jesus did not just rise. And Jesus did not just ascend. But the Lord is with us. And that's the gospel truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make straight your paths. Please join me in prayer. Lord, there's some sense in which these words from Proverbs, some of the most well-known words, the most quoted words, are familiar, and yet from time to time, like hearing of your love and your grace, we need to be reminded of that. especially as we look back to the last week and weeks, recognizing the heart of the gospel message and what that means, to hear again your invitation, your call, your proclamation that you are our guide forever and ever because you are our God forever and ever. We pray that in times personally in our own lives, within our relationships, our family, our faith communities, within what it means to be a faith community and a broader community, recognizing everything that goes on around us and in this world, we're reminded to look to you and to do that with each other. And Lord, we pray that in that we will be formed and shaped the way that you have called us to be in Christ. And that's why we dare to sing the song that we do next. Trusting in you to guide us is where we place ourselves again on this day because of Jesus Christ. Lead and guide us in that path, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.